Thank you. Good morning. I hope you've had a good week. I certainly have. I'm a granddaddy. Of course, I was a granddaddy 7 days ago at this time, but I wasn't here. Thank you for being so understanding about that. Grandfathers aren't needed at the hospital when babies are born. They don't have a job. So I was fully expecting, even when Andrew was going through Saturday, I was fully expecting to be here. But when late Saturday night came around and she still hadn't given birth, I called Ben and I said, I don't know where this is going, but could you make sure you're ready tomorrow morning? And then by early in the morning when she still hadn't given birth and it could go in any kind of difficulty, I thought, well, I ought to be there. Well, it turns out, not only was it the length of the labor, of course, was a difficulty, but nothing else particularly was, as that beautiful little girl was born last Sunday morning. And she came while I was on my way in, driving into Anchorage, or on my way toward Anchorage, and I thought, I'm going to keep going. I'm not turning around at this point. So praise God and thank you for that. Thank him for that. And thank you for letting me have a little time to be there last Sunday morning. Let's go to our Father in prayer. Holy Lord and Father, we praise you and thank you. We praise you for the wonder of life and the way that you watch over our lives every day. Father, we pray that we pay attention to the way you touch us and watch over us, and that our thoughts, our words, and our actions are full of praise and full of thanks. We pray that at this time our hearts are soft before your word, that we can submit to you in all things. Help us to learn from your word and to do your will with courage and conviction. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There are a lot of exciting things going on this spring. We'll be announcing them as we come. One of the things, Jake is prepared to announce this, but ladies, next weekend is the ladies' retreat in Anchorage, and that would be... There'd be many, many good things about your participation in that. Anchorage this year is also hosting the lectureship, which is in April, and we have the forms to register for that. So be looking ahead, put things on your calendar, plan to participate in as much as you can. Your growth, your family's growth, your fellowship with brothers and sisters across the state improved tremendously as you participate in these things. These events, the lectureship, the retreats, other gatherings are done for the glory of God and for the strength of His people. So carve yourself out some time to join these and go and participate in these things. Today at our 12:20 talk on creation, every Sunday we're trying to, this year, we're trying at 12:20 to spend about 15 minutes, 20 minutes talking about one part or another of God's creation, either scientifically or design-wise or logic-wise or whatever it might be scripturally. We're doing that in 2009 because it's the 200th anniversary of the birth of Charles Darwin, and I'm sure you've probably run into that either in school or otherwise. There already has been, and there's going to be more noise and celebration over Darwin and his theory of evolution. But what we want to show is how fallible the theory of evolution is, how it fails even on its own standards, and how the Word of God and God's creation stands. But anyway, today we're going to be talking about one of the instincts in one of God's wonderful creation, about God's amazing design, the demonstration of design and instinct in nature. And this sermon is about, well, kind of the opposite of that. How in us, in humans, we go beyond instinct. We have a freedom given to us by God that's beyond instinct. In what we just read in Genesis 1, God says that he's going to make man in what he called our image. In the image of God, we are made. Now, we don't have a footnote that explains exactly what that means. We know it doesn't mean physical image. We're not made in the physical image of God, because every time the Bible talks about some of the literal physical image of God, he's described in ways that are totally outside the realms of us. Jesus tells us that his Father is spirit. He's not flesh. Jesus had to come in the flesh to connect to us. So God isn't like us in a physical form. So when he says we're made in his image, that has to connect to some other things. It certainly connects to the idea of being eternal. We are not eternal in both directions. God is eternal into the past and eternal to the future. We had a beginning. We were created. We were made. We had a birth. But then we're infinite. We go eternally in one direction. We have spirit. We have a wealth of emotion. Animals have some emotion, you can find. But there's something really tremendous that God has given us. And I want you to remember something. You know, I've seen these preachers who have the congregation respond back to them. He tells them something and they repeat it back. I don't do that. But this feels like one of those, you know. All right, say with me. But the phrase is, and it's really profound. It's really profound. You'll want to get your pens and paper. You may want to carve this in wood and darken it and stain it in your home. Are you ready? Anything I can do, I can do. Anything I or you can do, you can do. That doesn't sound very deep. And it really isn't very deep at its basic. Anything I can do, I can do. It's called free will, the freedom of choice. And we forget it and set it aside more times than you can shake a stick. There are so many times we say in our lives, oh, I can't do it. I can't. 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 We tell ourselves I can't. We tell others I can't. We get this I can't down really, 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 really well. But what God gives us is a wonderful capacity inside of our brains, inside of our muscles, inside of our throats where our words are formed, that we can do anything we can do. You are free to choose. Now, what you are all choosing to do is sit rather quietly, look in one direction. That's your choice. But you're free to do anything else. I keep wondering when I prepare this. I've been working on this lesson for a long time. I want to say, you could stand up and throw your arms in the air and scream right now if you wanted to. I was just wondering who would do it. I got a couple of arms in the air, but nobody screamed. I want us to realize the absolute freedom God has given us. Anything you can do, you can do. These ideas were a subset of the lessons on discipline we talked about last month. Because it's so important for us to realize the power of our choice. It's so important to realize that God has given us much, much more than instinct. Now, you can't flap your arms and fly, probably. You probably can't run 100 miles an hour. There are some things you can't do. We don't worry about those. And then there are those things of, can every one of us in this room study and successfully graduate from medical school and be a doctor? And I don't mean mentally. I mean just at this point in our life. Could we, you got enough time, you got enough situation. I mean, could we all just hop up and go apply to medical school in 8 years, 10 years from now, there'd be 200 doctors here. I some things that you can do become ridiculous or impractical or beyond. Now, some of our young folks can do that. 50-year-old men can easily go and apply to medical school and graduate. So can 60 or 70-year-old men and women do the same. But I'm not talking about the extreme or the ridiculous. I'm really referring to that which is within the realm of our actions and our choice. The corollary of this is that nobody makes you do anything. You're free to do anything you can do. You can sing. Any word that you can say. Any word that you shouldn't say, you can choose not to say. Any word that you should say, you can choose not to say. The corollary, as I said, is nobody can make you do anything. Nobody can make you. Oh, he made me. No, he didn't. I mean, even to the gun, oh, yeah, well, if somebody held a gun on you, you'd have. Well, no, that's still a choice, okay? I just want you to understand the power of your choice. That's still a choice. If somebody held a gun on you and said, smash that window, rob that bank, whatever it was, you still have a choice. Your actions are always your choice. Your words are always formed in your throat. Your thoughts are always created in your mind. Your brain tells your muscles what to do. We have a few things that we're instinctive about. Our blinking is instinctive. Fight or flight can be instinctive. There are a few things that we're instinctive about. But mostly, within the realm of most relationships, within the realm of almost everything we do in all of our days, we are free to choose. And there's really, really good news, and there's really bad news in this. The bad news, if you don't mind me starting there, is that therefore you're responsible. Great. I hate it when adults start talking about responsibility. Therefore, you're responsible for everything you think, everything you say, everything you do, and God even says everything you fail to do. He who knows the good he ought to do and does not do it sins, says God. Yikes. I was thinking about this week. We were reading in 1 Kings at home, but I found a better quotation in 1 Samuel 12. If you will fear the Lord, God says, or is being said to the people, if you will fear the Lord and serve him and listen to his voice and not rebel against the command of the Lord, then both you and also the king who reigns over you will follow the Lord, your God. If you will not listen to the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the command of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you and against your fathers. Even now, take your stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. You see, the fact that we are responsible for all that we, think, say, do, and fail to do, we're responsible for all of that, is the basis of our legal system. It'd be pretty ridiculous if our legal system was based on us on a pattern in which you couldn't choose. I punched him. Yeah, I punched him in the nose, Your Honor, absolutely. But I had no control over my muscles at the time. My brain thought independent thoughts of myself. Those thoughts must have been aggressive and in anger, and it had nothing to do with me. Yeah, it was my arm. It was my hand that balled up in a fist. Yes, my arm shot the fist forward, and my eyes guided it to his nose, but I was completely independent of all that. Not guilty. Our legal system doesn't work that way. I know you're all thinking about things like insanity pleas and fights of passion and those sorts of things, and I don't intend to get into any of that. Most of that is idiosyncrasies of our legal system or of modern systems. The basis is still there. We are responsible for what we do. And God says you are responsible to serve and listen to him. And you are responsible for what you do when you don't serve and listen to him. Jesus says this in Matthew 12. This is worth going to and underlining. Jesus says this in Matthew 12, verse 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. He's talking about you and me. The tree is known by its fruit. 12, now verse 34. You brood of vipers, how long can you, being evil, speak of what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man brings out of his good treasure that which is good. The evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified. By your words you will be condemned. Jesus is pretty specific. Very clear. We are given choices. There's a lot in modern religious and theology discussion that talks about God's power, God's sovereignty being so absolute that man is not free to choose. It goes down the road of Calvinism, and there's a lot to it, and I don't intend to get into it right now. But it doesn't make sense in the looking at scriptures if we're not responsible for what we do and what we don't do. The Bible clearly teaches that we're responsible. It clearly shows that those who submit to God, who obey God, who listen to God, are rewarded and answered by God. And those who rebel against God, who disobey God, who want nothing to do with God, are punished by God. I mean, even the guilt we feel, even the relationships that break down, even the anguish we go through in this life when we're disobedient to God, is based on how he handles us. It's the basis for our legal system, and you can't get away from it. Oh, we try. We try hard to get away from it. We try hard to say, I didn't do that, the phrase that was going around when some of us were a lot younger, the devil made me do it. It wasn't me who did it. It was some twisted influence on me. The Bible warns us that bad company corrupts good morals. You can surround yourself with people who will influence you and influence you and influence you until you do something stupid, but that's still yours. You've got to own it. It's your choice. It was your choice to be in the company in which you were getting bad influence and bad advice and bad examples. And then you did something bad that's still yours. It's still mine. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man, Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony given at the proper time. All men have this freedom of choice. All men can look and find Jesus. All men are inside of God's desire for us to follow him. We all have that same choice. It's powerful. You can't take a butterfly out there and have him watch TV, read a book. I mean, even give him things he can physically do, I guess. I guess he could read a paper. Or, I don't know, you could tape a note on his back and have him fly to your neighbor's house and deliver messages. Just learned this week that about the monarch butterfly, reminded again about the monarch butterfly migration from Canada down through the central part of the United States into Mexico and back again. It's incredibly fascinating. Another part of God's beautiful design, as you know, nearly miraculously, the butterflies that had never been to this one patch of forest in Mexico, only their parents and great-grandparents had been there, but they find the same little tiny patch of forest down there instinctively. So your butterfly you're holding is perfectly capable of flying to your neighbor's house, but he doesn't have a will over his thinking process. You can't put into them over instincts like that. Some animals learn powerfully well. Some animals are even inspiring in how much they control themselves. You want the good news side? The good news side is because you're free to choose, you can choose God. Because you have freedom to choose, you can choose God and then choose good. You have control over your thoughts and actions and can therefore choose to do good in Christ Jesus. In thinking about animal inspiration, there was a story told to us last year. A lady who lives here in the valley has a really active, bright German Shepherd. Quite a nice dog. Knock you over out of friendship when it sees you. But she takes walks up and down her road every day or often throughout the week. And she has her dog trained to a sit steady. And one day she's walking down the road and the pit bull that lives about a quarter mile up the road from her was off of its chain. And as she came up over the rise and the one dog heard the other dog, the pit bull let loose its snarl and growl and took off running. She told her shepherd to sit, stay. And she stood next to that dog. That pit bull ran down the lawn, across the pavement, across the road, and plowed into that shepherd. He first grabbed him and hung on. And the owner of the pit bull heard the commotion as this woman is now trying to get this dog off of her dog. And he came out, and between the two of them, with force
and whatever else it took, they pried that pit bull off of that German Shepherd. And she had, it had lacerations up in its neck, and she had to take it to the vet. But I said, did your dog ever turn to bite? She said, no. Did he ever fight you? Did he jump back? Did he whimper? Did he snarl? No. I use that story as an inspiration for myself to think of the power of self-control, the amazing things that we can do physically. If we can do it, we can do it. How much control it takes and how much training went in between that woman and that dear animal of hers. Her dog is fine now. To teach it to trust her. If she said sit, and if she said stay, she knew what was best for him. She's right. If she had let him go, he would probably have been sorely on the bad end of that fight, even as big as he was. Yes. The other thing that inspires me on is maybe I could train my dog and me someday. I can't get my dog to stay in my own backyard. Anything we can do, we can do. Over top of instinct. Over top of desire. Because the real struggle is not in the can, but in the want. You see, we can turn off the TV and leave it off. We just don't want to. We can, guys, you can do your homework right away. You can write that paper ahead of time. We just don't want to. You can speak kindly and lovingly to your husband or wife, even when they're spitting and snarling and angry themselves. You can, despite the example of every other person in your workplace, you can put in a full day, 8 hours of honest work. You can involve yourself in a quiet prayer time every day with God and His Word. You see, we can, but often we want to choose other things. Often revenge is the easier response, the quicker response when somebody's been mean to us. Anger is the thing we choose. In Romans chapter 6, now if we died with Christ, you see, in Christ, all these cans have power put behind them. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again, death is no longer master over Him. For the death He died to sin once for all, and the life He lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its lusts. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. Don't. The beauty of our power to choose in the good direction is, one, got to be centered in choosing God and following Him by being part of His Son, Jesus. And then in Christ, we choose to say no. No, no to sin. Yes to powerful actions of good. Yes to care. Yes to prayer. Yes to applying God's love. Our choices are made every day, all the time. That's why when we're told in Scripture, whatever you do, all you do, all those choices you make, do all of them to the glory of God. In context, the most immediate thing that's talking about is eating. We don't think about eating to God's glory. But that's what he wants us to do. Do it all to his glory. All right, wrap up. 5 points. 5 things. How to get from being out of control or lacking control in our areas of choice to Christ's control. The first thing, of course, is Christ. But in 2 Corinthians 10, he tells us to control our thoughts. We are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Take your thoughts captive, because that's where your actions start. That's where words of revenge start. That's where hurtful things start. That's where laziness starts. That's where all that stuff starts. It starts as thoughts. Number one is take control of your thoughts. Number two is start with the small. Jesus said in Luke 16:10, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. Whoever is dishonest with very little is also dishonest with much. If you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? So there's no such thing as a white lie. Don't lie. Don't train yourself to lie. There's no such thing as anger that's beneficial and in control. I'm sorry, I should restate that. Godly anger is beneficial. Most of our anger is selfish. But what I'm getting at is that sometimes people practice anger, or they say, well, go ahead, get it out. Tell them how angry you are. Just go ahead and yell for a little bit. It'll make you feel better. You know what practicing, you know what that does? It gets you better at being angry. Letting it out, developing your anger, expressing your anger, exploding in your anger, yelling at somebody over anger, yelling at your pillow because you're angry at somebody else is an improvement, but it's still developing a good, healthy ability to be angry. God says take control of your thoughts and rebuke selfish anger. Godly anger is something totally different. Godly anger is always looking to the other person's best. It's love applied with some seriousness. Godly anger is always looking for the good. Okay, number one was control your thoughts. Number two, start with the small. Number three, practice. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Control your thoughts. Start with the small. Practice. Make your choices and stick with them. Say, I'm not going to watch TV this week. And stick with it. I'm going to write that letter. I'm going to do my homework. I'm going to finish this right now. And stick with it. Practice. Number four, never quit. Pedro in 1 Timothy 4:16 is just one example of the word perseverance given to us. Pay close attention to yourself and your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do, you will ensure salvation for yourself and for those who hear you. Control your thoughts. Start with the small. Practice. Never quit. And oh, by the way, my quotation was a bit off at the beginning of this sermon, and I know most of you have already thought of it. I said, and I almost had you repeat after me, whatever I can do, I can do. Well, in Christ, we're given, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. That doesn't mean in Christ you can now run 100 miles an hour. That means that anything God needs you to do, anything God wills you to do, any job God puts in front of you, any day God gives you to serve, you can do it. Anything in God's will he has in your life, you can do it. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Free will, that's still our choice. It's free choice, but it's now put in the hands and the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, purposed and directed by God. That's the life to live. Know the power of your choice, your choices, and how many hundreds, maybe thousands of them you make every day. Every day you choose thousands of things. And how in Christ and guided by God, that's made so powerful. Today, I'm going to give you a choice. If there's anyone here who's not been baptized into Christ, if anyone here is ready to make that choice, that's the one that makes all of these other good things we've talked about happen. That's the first step to walking in that powerful life that God has intended for us to His purpose. If any are ready to do that, if any are ready to let us know of any struggles that they have, please come forward and let us know what they are while we stand and sing the song that we've been selected.